thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here. And I think it would be, I think Ibri, as I understand, also was once said about Dropsy College, is one of the best kept secrets in the world. And I would urge you sometime to consider setting up a booth at the American Theological Library Association and presenting some of your wares to the larger theological library community. They merit such dissemination. I'm going to cover about 10 blocks, which are not particularly tied together. They flow along. They're not the same shape. The first will be preliminary questions, and then I'm going to work through successive types of tools, which will comprise the remaining 9 blocks of this presentation. Preliminary questions to ask of yourself and of the tools. Number 1, am I / is this tool sensitive to the wide spectrum from general to specific, from world-encompassing tools embracing all languages, time periods, subjects, and forms of material, to highly specialized, very narrow tools, such as a bibliography of periodical articles in English written between 1900 and 1950 on the grammar of the Septuagint. So we have, first of all, am I, is this tool, its compiler, aware of the wide spectrum from general to specific? And we're talking again about, as I mentioned there, languages, time period, subject, and form of material. No particular significance in the order of those. Secondly, what form of work do I, or do I know at this point? Perhaps I don't. And what form is this? Do I need? And what form is this tool? What form of work do I need, or do I know at this point? And what form is this tool? And what form of material does it treat? Now, what I'm going to do in these successive points is kind of deal with language, time period, form, some of these subject specificity, some of these things I mentioned in the first point. Now, I will indicate, and this is just to give you an idea of the schmear of the genre, the types of reference tools: guides, bibliographies, encyclopedias, dictionaries, directories, handbooks, almanacs, biographical sources, indexes to all sorts of things, such as periodicals, book reviews, collections, works, dissertations, atlases. Those are the kinds of things that you often see in a guide to reference books, under the various chapters or the various types of material treated under the various subjects. Now, those are all forms of material, but there is also the meaning of form. That's one meaning of the word form, material. But there's also the bibliographical form. Which that would be. Those would be the bibliographical forms, essentially. Such as a bibliography. Guides, bibliographies. The other is the physical form of the material, and that would be this kind of thing. And you can go on and on. These technology is expanding these. And sometimes they're the same entity is available in a combination of these. An encyclopedia may be both on computer disk and also in paper form. So you want to consider the form of the material treated as well. So we have here the bibliographical form of the treating item, the title, the tool. Bibliographical form of the tool itself, the physical form of the tool itself, and then the form that the tool treats. A bibliography of bibliographies would be an example of the kind of thing I'm getting at. The bibliographic form of the tool is a bibliography. The form of the material treated by that tool are bibliographies. Now, that's not getting over in the physical form. The bibliographies could be in the form of periodicals that are bibliographies. But you see what I mean here, the way that cuts down. I hope that hasn't been too unclear. I might define here monograph and serial also, because all of these forms, in a sense, both the physical and the bibliographical form can be either monograph or monographic or serial, and that relates really to the way they're published. So let me give you a definition, and these two things kind of slice through the literature, regardless of its physical. Cassettes, for example, can come out seriatim indefinitely, like a periodical that's issued on cassettes. There's a theological thesis cassette. It's indexed. That's not in paper form. It's not a magazine. It's cassettes. So it can be a physical form that comes out in a serial fashion, or it can be a cassette that's like a monograph, comes out once and that's it. So let me define these. First of all, a serial is a publication issued in successive parts at regular or irregular intervals and intended to continue indefinitely. A serial is a publication issued in successive parts at regular or irregular intervals and intended to continue indefinitely. A periodical is a subset of that. Periodical is issued just in regular intervals. That's where the word periodical comes from. There's an index up in the library about 2 and 2.5 inches thick that is an index just to the irregular serials. So a serial is a broader term than periodical. Incidentally, the first serial in the United States had only one issue. However, the word intended is significant. It was intended to continue indefinitely. Whereas a monograph is a complete bibliographical unit. Some librarians or library school professors like to tell beginning students it's anything that's not a serial. And in effect, that's why I gave the definition of serial first. The primary thing there, it's not intended to continue indefinitely. It may come out in fascicles for 55 years, but the intention is that it's going to be a bibliographical unit. The intention is not indefinitely to continue. Now, a series is a number of separate works, usually related in subject or form, that are issued successively. And you get into a gray area here with things like the International Critical Commentary, because that's really those are monographs in a series, and the series supposedly will not continue indefinitely, but well, maybe it will. They haven't done all the biblical books in the ICC, and interestingly enough, they recently, as many of you know, came out with a new volume after years of not producing one, and it was a book they'd already done, Romans. Decades before, rather than one of the biblical books they hadn't treated yet. So series are, I just throw that in because sometimes when you define serial and monograph, people say, well, what are series? And essentially they are monographs that are issued in a fashion that is successive, but not necessarily to continue indefinitely. Okay, then the time period. What time period do I need or slash is this tool covering? Is it current, retrospective, a block of time? I have here a tool which I may have the opportunity to pull out later. It's an annotated bibliography of the textual criticism of the New Testament compiled by Bruce Metzger, 1914 to 1939. So here we're talking about a block of time. It's not retrospective. It doesn't start with 1939 and go back to St. Paul. And it's not current in the sense of every year or every quarter you get a new issue, this is what's come out in the New Testament Christian in this quarter, etc. It's a block of time. Now, normally it's the serial form of things that are the ones that provide the currency, because once a monograph comes out, that's it. But the serial things tend to be your current bibliographic awareness sorts of tools, like a bibliographic index is a general tool, bibliographic tool, going on and on, covering year in and year out. But many of these things are monographic. Here's a classified bibliography of the literature on the Acts of the Apostles, compiled by A.J. Matfield. Many of you are familiar with it. And it was printed in 1966, so you won't find any titles later than that in it, obviously. But it goes back through time. Here's an article in it from 1851. So you see, that's what I mean by the retrospective. And when you consider the tool, or your own needs, ask what time period do I want to deal with here? If you're dealing with the Dead Sea Scrolls, you probably won't want to dig into 19th century periodical indexes. Waste a lot of time there looking up Qumran or whatever. Next, what languages do I need, or is this full covering? Again, I'm covering some of these kinds of things that help give some form to this huge range of very general to very specific. A world bibliography down to this thing on the Septuagint grammar that I mentioned. For many seminary students, the answer is English. U.S. seminary students, the answer is English, and that's kind of the end of it. We think in that term, but as Dr. McRae and many of you well know, some of the best works are not in English. And in fact, interestingly enough, the only grammar of the Septuagint is one from the 1840s that's not in English. Schmoll, are you aware of that? Schleusner, that's it. Yes, that is interesting, and a work that I'll get to a little later if we get an opportunity. It's from the 1840s, and it's the only thing. Here we go. Somebody came in and asked me this, and I looked it up. I didn't know of the thing's existence before that, and they came in, and I can't place it right now, but it is the only one, and it's very hard to come by, and I just came across a thing by T.R.O.M.M. Are you familiar with his concordance or lexicon? Was mentioned in the preface of Moorish as T.R.O.M.M. from 1718, right in there. And John Hurst in Literature Theology mentioned that in 1896, when that was published, you could get it for $25 or $30 occasionally. And now it's a rare book, of course, from right before 1720. And it's actually his name, and that is T-R-O-M-M-I-U-S, which is just one of those little things you always have to watch for, especially in older authors. If you look in a card catalog in a major library, You look under Trom, because that's what Moorish said his name was, but they have it under, the librarians will have put it under Tromius, because, you know, Latinization of it on the title page as they cataloged it was Tromius. You know, all those kinds of things in scholarly research you have to watch out for. And interestingly enough, he was not in Fitzmyer or Merrow or any of those people, but I did find him in Hurst. And he deals with the Hebrew words, deals with the renditions of those very closely, apparently, and that's what this gentleman is after this afternoon. Okay, what is the specificity as far as subject goes? You know, what do you need? Now, I have here, for example, I'll point it out later, Bibliography of Jewish Bibliographies by Shunami. Shunami. Subject. How broad is the term Jewish? What do they mean by that? John Bollier's work, The Literature of Theology. How broad is the term literature? What does the term theology mean? All religion? Protestant theology? Terms like modern, social, reform, Western, exegetical. Those terms in reference tool titles, you need to really think about. You know, what do they mean by Western theology, or, you know, whatever, or modern? You know, modern can mean Reformation to now, or some titles it might mean, you know, since 1950. Now, in some works, there's no subject specificity. In a little bit, I'll get to one of these, Guide to Reference Books by Winchell. The library doesn't have the 9th edition by Eugene Sheehy. Up through the 8th, it was by Constance Winchell. But it's a Guide to Reference Books, and there really is no subject determination. It covers all fields. But you don't want to ignore something like this either, though. That's why you've got to move up and down this spectrum and think, well, if I'm doing a paper on the Septuagint, then I'll want only, let's see, Greek Bible, whatever. No, you may find something very valuable up the scale in a more general tool, but you'll want to be aware of the way you're moving up and down in the generality to specificity. Okay, moving on then, again, to the question of form or format, and I went through the mechanics of that a moment ago. What form or arrangement do I most need? Does this tool have that? And here we get into class arrangements or classified. Guidebooks will constantly say this bibliography is a class arrangement, classified arrangement, or enumerative. Those are two of the big distinctions. Enumerative tends to be like the phone book, an A to Z, many, many headings type of thing. A classified tends to be broken down according to some form of organization. So those of you who have used the periodical indexes in the library know that Religion Index 1 is pretty much enumerative. There's hundreds and hundreds of headings, A to Z. Whereas the International Zeitschriftenschau für Bibelwissenschaft und Grenzgebiet, pardon my German, Dr. McCrae, is classified. You don't go in there and look at the first pages and see, you know, Aaron, Ark, Abraham, you know, archaeology, Aharoni, and then move through. No, you go in there and the first thing you find, Bible, general. And then you'll go on and a little button, Old Testament, Genesis. And under that, maybe textual criticism, theology, whatever. That's the difference between classed and enumerative. Well, which is more helpful for you and what are you after? Some things are arranged chronologically and are maybe less helpful or more helpful. If you're dealing with the development of something, it might be very nice. But if you're a student trying to get material for a paper, the chronological arrangement of the tool might just be terribly frustrating, unless it has a good author and subject index that allows you to work into it separately. And I have a note here. to see a certain page in this. Okay, here's for example. Wilbur Smith. A list of bibliographies of theological and biblical literature published in Great Britain and America, 1595 to 1931, with critical biographical and bibliographical notes. Long title. Coatesville, PA, the author, 1931. And the annotation here says, well done, but hard to use since entries are arranged by date. Starting with 1595, going through 1931. So there would be an example of what I mean by a chronological sort of arrangement versus an enumerative or classified. Now, lastly, other parameters or limitations. Perhaps you've already discovered them in the points we've gone through. But some of them might be things like, is it scholarly or popular? Those are elusive or slippery terms. What audiences? Is it selective, or does it tend to try to be comprehensive? There's hardly anything can be comprehensive anymore. But if selective in some way, how is it selective? What procedures were used and what criteria? Now, the person, usually you want to look in the preface and in book reviews and forewords and so on, to get this kind of information. Not just on the dust jackets. They may be helpful, but go right into the preface. Sometimes the preface is very poor, won't tell you what selection criteria will be used. But you also need to note the procedures followed. A good scholar will go into a work and he'll see the author in the preface will say, the criteria were that it was a scholarly material on the Septuagint and so on, and then maybe the procedures followed were, I went to all the libraries in Maine and that were over 50,000 volumes, and called through the, and then immediately the scholar says, okay, the criteria say he's going to have this, but look, his procedures will mean that he's not going to achieve what you would think from his criteria. So you want to look at both of those things and check them. And I have something here to read from this book. On the in the preface of this book, which I'll deal with at length next. Has a quote from Gulliver's Travels. And he says here, well, I'll read the quote. It's kind of not interesting. The first man I saw was of a meager aspect, with sooty hands and face, his hair and beard long, ragged and singed in several places. His clothes, shirt, and skin were all of the same color. He had been 8 years upon a project for extracting sunbeams out of cucumbers, which were to be put into vials hermetically sealed and let out to warm the air in raw and inclement weather. Some years ago, we embarked on a project which seemed simple enough, the preparation of a basic guide to reference materials in theology and religious studies. At that time, our editor at Greenwood Press hoped that we could expand the initial outline into a 450-page manuscript. Now, nearly 5 years later to the day, the publisher wants some assurance that the guide can be kept within four volumes. Gulliver's description of the Grand Academy of Legato might well have included a theological bibliographer among those engaged in feudal enterprises, for the cucumber extractor is as likely to meet with definitive success in his field as is the bibliographer of man's oldest discipline. Well, I'd like to move on and deal with some things that this work, which is Dr. Peterson is very familiar with it, Gorman and Gorman, G.E. Gorman, G-O-R-M-A-N, and Lynn Gorman.
They're both in Britain. but two of my very good friends of health, John Trotty, a Union Seminary library in Richmond, and Don Matthew, the Gettysburg Lutheran, are mentioned on the title page as assisting, and Trotty wrote the introductory chapter. This is the first of four volumes, and I'll deal with that, but it's in a series called Bibliographies and Indexes in Religious Studies, number one. And as a librarian, I'm anxious to see what this really means. That series, whether number one is the four volume, Theological and Religious Reference Materials, subtitle, General Resources and Biblical Studies. The next three will be Practical Theology, Historical Theology, Systematic, other four basic disciplines they'll cover. Now, is number one the four volumes, the major title, Theological and Religious Reference Materials, or is number one in the series Bibliographies and Indexes in Religious Studies, again, is the series title, just this volume? In other words, does number one pertain both to the title and the subtitle? And then two would be Theological and Religious Reference Materials, colon, you know, Historical and Systematic Studies, three and four. And then the series will end, or will it go on and there'll be other tools? Those are unlearning nightmares. But in any case, this is part of a new, ambitious series. And the features of this work, and again, this is just the first volume, and this is the General Resources and Biblical Studies, is that it's going to be international, interdenominational, all Western languages and traditions that they say will, to be consulted by students or scholars. Now, notice a flag should go up. Those Western languages and traditions, like, quote, likely to be consulted by students or scholars. So they probably mean English, French, and German mainly, and some Scandinavian and some Italian and such probably. But who knows. Broad range of reference works of a general nature because they, quote, can answer many basic questions which the more advanced and detailed reference works take for granted. Now, in their preface, they specifically say that unlike a lot of the guides, we're not going to limit ourselves to serving the pastor or the theological student. Notice Bollier, Literature of Theology, a guide for students and pastors and other such things. They say a lot of these other things are not comprehensive. They focus on something, or they are narrower in subject. Biblical Scholar, New Testament, basic bibliography for just the New Testament. But they're saying they're going to be more comprehensive. But they also say that they're going to have general reference works which are sometimes inferior, but they're still around the library, still available, and have some merit. So they're going to include those and try to indicate through their annotations, presumably, that they're not the best. But they feel that these, quote, can answer many basic questions which the more advanced and detailed reference works take for granted. And so there will be a comprehensiveness in terms of a more scholarly versus popular, or maybe that's the wrong term, maybe dated versus up-to-date. They're going to embrace some of those other things. The second distinguishing feature, a multidisciplinary approach. And as I mentioned, they're going to treat systematic, biblical, practical, and historical theology, the traditional divisions. Interestingly enough, I thought that the four volumes would be the four areas of theology, but not so. The first is, as I've already told you what it is, general and biblical. Volume 2 covers systematic, dogmatic, moral theology, and church history. Volume 3 will deal with practical theology and related subjects in the social sciences. And they say these will be published in rapid succession, probably within a 12-month period. I doubt that they'll be out within until several years have passed. I just had Chris Hardy come in about 5:15 and say, where's Volume 8 of Expositor's Bible Commentary? He looked in one of these tools that says it's coming out in 82. I said, we don't have it yet. And I said, don't believe when they say it'll be out here. It's 84. It probably has just come out. But that's what they say, probably within a 12-month period. The fourth and final volume, dealing with comparative and non-Christian religions, will appear somewhat later. So what they're adding there is to the four areas of theology dealt with in the first three volumes, comparative studies in a fourth volume. Third distinguishing feature, the target audience is clergy, scholars, and students, all three, not just one. I've kind of indicated that already. Fourth, there's a broad definition of reference materials encompassing bibliographies, indexes, abstracts, encyclopedias, dictionaries, handbooks, manuals, and basic textbooks or major topical surveys. Now, the last couple of things there are what's usually omitted. Textbooks, topical surveys, and the reason they're including those is that they feel they have good introductory material for students oftentimes, sometimes some very helpful appendices and that kind of thing. So they're going to embrace a larger, I talked about form again, bibliographical form. They're going to embrace a larger form. Over here, physical form, there's written material. They're not going to deal with cassettes and such, apparently. The one main category overlooked is periodical articles, which would be particularly bibliographic essays and literature surveys. As you know, many times periodical articles are some of your best sources of bibliographic data. The Theologische Rundschau is often devoted to bibliographical updating of things, and many other periodicals occasionally survey the literature. But they're going to omit those, for adequate treatment of these would require another set of volumes. And the fifth and last distinctive, not limited to works recently published or of recognized superiority. I already dealt with that a little bit. In fact, I've pretty much talked about that. They're going to try to indicate the caution. Okay. Aiming to meet the rather different requirements embodied in such a broad range of users poses organizational difficulties. The most suitable arrangement for advanced users and the most satisfactory from a classificatory standpoint is one which follows a rather detailed classification of disciplines, subjects, topics. However, this presents a somewhat daunting prospect to the large body of student users, unfamiliar with the niceties of theological and religious classification. In addition, an intentionally broad subject arrangement encourages browsing by the neophyte theologian, and this is a prime consideration in a work which seeks to draw students into the maze rather than to reinforce barriers to understanding. Therefore, each volume follows a very broad subject division with form subdivisions under each main subject. The specific topical requirements of advanced students and scholars can be satisfied through the detailed author, title, and subject indexes. So what he's saying is I'm going to give you kind of a class arrangement, and for people wanting material on a particular archaeologist or theologian or whatever, or title, work through those author, title, and subject indexes into that material if you're studying that particular person or whatever. Each volume, he says, is going to be self-contained, cross-referenced within itself, but not over to the other volumes. And he deals with the arrangement of the individual volumes, especially this particular one. Okay. Now, he indicates, and this is a new series, in order to deal with some of the more important areas omitted from this guide, notice I said this guide is part of this bibliographies and indexes and religious studies, then in order to deal with some of the things omitted from this particular series, Topics in Religion, a bibliographic series, is going to be instituted by Greenwood Press, which did this volume. By the way, the price on this is rather dear. The library paid $49.95. This new series, Topics in Religion, is going to cover all aspects of religious studies which have failed to receive adequate bibliographic treatment. Initial volumes will deal with church and state in Eastern Europe, new religious movements, missions, the resurgence of Islam, pastoral counseling, and those kinds of topics. So two important new series. I have devoted a lot of time to that, but I think it's important because those are two important new series from Greenwood Press. Okay, we've dealt with preliminary questions and already with number two, which is Gorman and those series. And now I'm going to go through 3 through 10. And what I'm going to do, number 3, is something analogous to Gorman, really, but a little narrower focus, and that is works like Bob Keppel from Westminster. You always like to push a work where you're mentioned in the acknowledgments. And John Bollier of Yale. He gave the dinner address this year, this past June, at the ATLA conference. Kind of a colorful fellow. He was a reference librarian at Yale Divinity School Library. Reference works for theological research by Bob Keppel. Oh, by the way, he left Westminster June 30th. He's now independently in consulting and computer software writing for libraries. An annotated selective bibliographical guide, second edition, and again, Bollier, the literature theology guide for students and pastors. Very nice tools. Very helpful. I've used them in writing my little articles for the weekly. I found Bollier to have one of the better handles on the Cambridge Greek Testament for schools and colleges and the Cambridge Bible for schools and colleges. You'll turn to Cyril Barber and he'll say, Cambridge Bible for schools and colleges, 1916. And, of course, it came out over a period of many decades. And Bollier seemed to have the best handle on the huge range of dates, like the Cambridge Greek Testament, 1881 to 1914. 19 volumes and even a larger span. It wasn't completely accurate, but, well, maybe it was. It gets into a question of whether, well, how much the redoing of certain volumes counts as the ongoing of the series or whether you terminate it at the end of the completion of the canon being treated, that kind of question. Now, Keppel is, I have a book review here mentioning John Jefferson Davis of Gordon Conwell's His Theology Primer, Resources for the Theological Student. Is anybody familiar with that, Dr. Peterson? He commends Davis for helping the student find their way around the theological landscape, a glossary of key terms, and so on. I think this is a very nice thing that he has, a brief biography of modern theologians, including 19th century greats such as Charles Hodge. Often that biographical information slips by students, and they're just using, you know, an 18th century Anglican and a 20th century Brethren and a Catholic from the Middle Ages, and they have no idea when these people lived, what denominations they were from, or anything. They just cite them as their commentaries and things. Now, he provides a lot of different things. You might be interested, Dr. Peterson, that this guy says that if Davis updates the work, he should include the massive and significant volume entitled Catholicism, Winston Press, 1981, by Richard P. McBrien of Notre Dame. Then he goes on to Keppel's work. Now, Keppel tries not to duplicate McCabe. It's down here, this red volume. I'll pull it out later. McCabe, Critical Guide to Catholic Reference Books. Keppel doesn't include all of the Catholic material like he might, so he feels McCabe, A Critical Guide to Catholic Reference Books, treats some of those works. So he's a little sparing in listing some of those, but otherwise he's quite replete. Now, Keppel doesn't treat Hatch and Redpath and those kinds of tools. It's more your strictly reference tools. It's not like Scholler, where he'll give you the best edition of the Pseudepigrapha and Apocrypha, the best, some of the better concordances, Greek concordances of the New Testament, or whatever. It's not that sort of thing. It's more strictly a reference and a general sweeping sort of thing across the areas. He feels that one would expect to see an encyclopedic standard text by Harold Grimm, The Reformation Era, which has 72 pages of bibliography. He questions Keppel's giving homiletic aids and not listing any biblical theologies or history of doctrine. He does include Jeremy Toby's The History of Ideas. But generally, he compliments him. He wishes he'd included some of the commentaries, but as I mentioned, those commentaries and those things are really beyond what Keppel is after. Now, interestingly enough, James Dennison at Westminster Seminary West in California gives quite a rave review in the Westminster Journal to Keppel. He says, there is one item omitted I found very useful, and I want our library to get this thing because this would be very helpful. Historical Biographical Dictionary's Master Index for American Figures. Historical Biographical Dictionary's Master Index for American Figures by Barbara McNeil and Miranda Herbert by Gale Research Company. If you ever see Gale, G-A-L-E, that's a major reference tool publisher in Michigan. This volume is a master index of biographical sketches of American personalities compiled from 34 dictionaries, directories, and encyclopedias. Handy check first tool for locating. I still have not been able to locate any information on Alexander Hislop, author of the Two Babylons. Ralph Ritter wrote to Loiseau Brothers that published the Two Babylons, which is an anti-scurrilous, anti-Catholic work. With Ralph thinks the work's horrible, and I tend to agree. It's had a wide influence. Grace Mullen at Westminster Seminary says it's one of their most borrowed books is Hislop's The Two Babylons. You can't find any reviews of it. You can't find who Hislop is. Loiseau doesn't even know who they are. Ritter was going to write to them, but he was so glad they replied that he hates to come down on them and say, well, why do you publish something by somebody you don't even know who he is? But I think they have dropped. I don't think it's in print now. But it's the kind of thing that links the Pope and the papal succession to the old Nimrod and the old ancient Old Testament pagan figures. That sort of thing is his thesis. Okay, we'll move on then to category 4, which is something analogous to Gorham, but for all literature. And by the way, there's some marvelous footnotes here in Gorham. For example, John Trotty's nice preface. Footnote 1 is, for an excellent discussion of the role of bibliography in the wider world of learning, see Jesse H. Shera, S-H-E-R-A. He's like F.F. Bruce is to New Testament. He is to library science. Jesse H. Shera, Libraries and the Organization of Knowledge, Hamden, Connecticut, Archives, 1965, especially the section entitled Foundations of a Theory of Bibliography. So there's some rich material in the wider literature on bibliography. But now, this is Winchell. It's now Eugene Sheehy in the 9th edition. I don't think there's a 10th one out yet. Guide to Reference Book. This is like a librarian's Bible. Some public libraries will keep it behind the desk so somebody doesn't walk off with it. Guide to Reference Book. I know my father-in-law uses this extensively. Library doesn't have the 9th edition. But it kind of surveys all of the world of literature, all of, you know, geography, astronomy, astrophysics, mathematics, sociopolitical theory, all those, all areas, genealogy, whatever comes to mind, music, all the areas. Like Gorham surveys kind of all of religion. It's a sweeping sort of thing. And by reference books, it's not, you know, just bibliographies and dictionaries, but he'll have, I noticed in here, for example, in the section under Spanish literature, here's individual authors. Cervantes, he cites Grismer. Cervantes, a bibliography. Books, essays, articles, and other studies. He gives some annotations to the thing. Anthologies, drama. Here under history, section on city planning, gardens. Pictorial Guide to American Gardens. You know, many different types of things, not just things that would be in a reference room necessarily. And in the category of guidebooks, more analogous to... I'm getting ahead of myself. Along with Sheehy, the library doesn't have these, but you may want to note them. Theodore Besterman, World Bibliography... of bibliographies. Theodore Besterman, A World Bibliography of Bibliographies. It goes on. And bibliographical catalogs, calendars, abstracts, digests, indexes, and the like. 5 volumes, Lausanne, 65 to 66. Keppel says, the major listing by the all-time great bibliographer. That's what he thinks of Besterman. Includes around 117,000 separately published bibliographies. This edition covers through 1963. The author index is volume 5. So it's worth noting him. And also Walford, W-O-L-F-O-R-D, A.J. Walford, W-A-L-F-O-R-D, pardon me. That's in several volumes. It is the British equivalent of Winchell Flash Sheehy. But it includes some important issues of journals and articles and other minor works. And Sheehy and Winchell don't get into the periodical literature. They might mention periodicals, but not certain issues. So you have Sheehy, or Winchell's Sheehy, Besterman, Walford. And those are trade name type things. And in kind of analogous to all of bibliography, what Gorham is to religion. Now, analogous to Keppel and Bollier, guides are Bell and Swiden. I use this in my course quite a bit. Bell and Swiden, reference books, a brief guide. Very nice tool. Drexel University uses this in their one of their basic courses. And something that Trotty commends, Gates, Guide to the Use of Books and Libraries. Gene Key, Gates, Guide to the Use of Books and Libraries. And then one I picked up, Reference Work in the Public Library. Fred Putnam came in with a question the other day, which this helped us answer. It had something to do with records or something like that, and I think in the field of music. It was some non-theology. Reference librarians will help or help in answering many different questions from the public by this kind of tool, a guide to such. Okay, that was covered up through 5. Now 6, biblical study. So now we're moving down away from just the religion to the Bible. The Bible per se. Trotty praises this. I know why. I think I know why he praises it, because this was this book, Tools for Bible Study, edited by Balmer Kelly and Donald G. Miller, 1956. I believe appeared in the, yes, it appeared in Interpretation, which is the journal of the seminary where Trotty is librarian. Deals with such aids to Bible study, concordances, lexicon, grammars, and so on. Someone dated now, almost 30 years old. But it also works on preaching and best books in 11 areas, it says. It is more than evaluation. Perhaps its most unique and helpful feature. Now, what I'm going to do in these next tools is cite reviews that give the unique kinds of features, is that it includes brief illustrations of how each tool can be used effectively by the Bible student. Even the best tools are without value in the hands of one who does not know how to use them. And the reviewer, John Milton of Luther Seminary, I guess that's in Minneapolis, St. Paul, said at that time he was going to make it required reading for his students. The next is Wilbur Smith. At that time he was at Fuller Seminary. Dr. McKay, of course, knows him well. That's a familiar name to all of us. A treasury of books for Bible study. It's amazing. I never knew this. Amazing what you do when you're called upon to speak at IBRI and have to dig and dig. This, it turns out, is constituted by chapters which appeared in his column in the study in Moody Monthly. This probably accounts for the great variety in the book, as well as for the ease of style, which makes it such pleasant reading. 21 categories of material. Some interesting things, such as a chapter on some suggestions for the study of a given biblical passage and letter to an adult friend who is beginning serious Bible study. Some special studies, such as biblical references to the temples in Jerusalem, discussion of the celestial phenomena in biblical prophecy, treatment of the flora of the Bible, chronological arrangement of the passages relating to the birth of Christ. And if Mr. Dunsweiler were here, new chapter which this reviewer, Oscar Feucht, says, the chapter which classifies the New Testament passages on the Holy Spirit is alone worth the price of the book, in this reviewer's opinion. And then other chapters, history of preaching, disappearance of the messianic hope in contemporary Judaism. So much for that. R.T. France, A Bibliographical Guide to New Testament Research. I know Dr. Peterson uses that. Won't spend time there. Scholer. Dr. Newman requires students to purchase David Scholer. Some. Scholer's limited himself to English works. That's somewhat misleading because, of course, he has Hatch and Redpath and such. He will suggest only 5 commentaries for each New Testament book, arbitrarily chosen number, I presume. Only general works in the area of New Testament theology. Dr. Peterson's undoubtedly aware of that already. Now, this is a review by Palmer Robertson, formerly at Westminster, now at Covenant Seminary. Very interesting. He says, no mention is found anywhere in the book of the work in New Testament theology by Gerhardus Voss or Hermann Ritterboss. It is surprising to find no mention of Oscar Kuhlmann and Ethelbert Stauffer, but it's disappointing to find no mention of Voss and Ritterboss. In the area of commentaries, 4 names which belong at the top of any man's list find no mention at all. John Calvin, J.A. Alexander, Charles Hodge, and William Hendrickson represent a stream of scholarly, practical, and theological exposition. Now, in all fairness to Scholer, his focus is certainly on commentaries. And I think the reason why Calvin, Alexander, Hodge certainly aren't in it is because he's dealing more with 20th century materials. And Hendrickson would fall outside the perimeter of the 5 that he said. He wouldn't consider that Hendrickson's to be, you know, worth citing probably, if he has to limit himself. As far as Voss and Ritterboss not being cited, or even Kuhlmann and Stauffer, I presume it's because, again, it's weak in New Testament theology. So I thought Palmer Robertson was maybe slightly unfair there. Fitzmyer. I love these 2 books. I love these 2 books. Buy them. I've gotten them. I've now switched to them for my course, which for a couple years I'm just letting students buy what they want. I suggest a number of titles in my bibliography. But these 2 books are wonderful. They're both Stanley Merrill, I suppose is a Catholic. Ralph Ritter took a course in New England, in Massachusetts, with Stanley Merrill. Both of these are published in Rome. Fitzmyer, of course, is Catholic. I'm not sure. Do you know if Merrill is? Anybody? I just presume from the series, I think he is, and I think Ritter's course, I know it wasn't at Gordon Conwell, it was, I think, at Boston College. Boston College is Catholic and has the graduate theology school in it. But these are wonderful. They are wonderful. They're much better than Sayer's Tools for Theological Research, which I used when I first taught my course, and which still has some merit. Sayers from Phillips University in Enid, Oklahoma, Church of Christ. Now, Fitzmyer. Here we go. First published in 1901 by Fathers Glanzman and Fitzmyer, it's now larger than ever. He faults him in a few things. He feels that Weingreen and Mansour's grammar should have been included, though they're not so scientific. on page 95, no mention of the English translation of Zimmerli's Grundriss was made. He says, Perry, the author's The Land of the Bible is worded in such a way to make somebody believe Michael Avellona authored what Yohanan Aharoni actually wrote. But he says when you consider all that's in the work, it's just outstanding. And I certainly would agree that Fitzmyer is excellent. It's annotated. Annotations are the things that really make these 2 tools stand out. Yes. Titled An Introductory Bibliography for the Study of Scripture by Joseph A. Fitzmyer and Basic Tools of Biblical Exegesis by Stanley B. Merrill. These will all be up here for you, and the tape will probably be available. Track those down. Merrill. Now, notice this. Merrill, again, it's just the one unique feature I'll point out about it. Often a list of critical reviews is provided for books that are cited. So, in other words, you not only have his annotation, But it gives you there where you can go for a review so you don't have to do all the legwork on your own and get a larger picture of what the tool he's citing is like. And then lastly, Wagner, this huge thing. This is an exegetical bibliography of the New Testament edited by Günther Wagner, Baptist Theological Seminary in Zurich. This is just Matthew and Mark. And the review that I found of it has somehow disappeared. I had it here in my hand a second ago. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. The most remarkable feature is the inclusion of references to encyclopedia articles, Festschriften articles, volumes of collections of essays, and monographs, as well as the periodical literature. It's more than can be gleaned in New Testament abstracts, International Zeitschriftenschau, and Olenkus put together. Unfortunately, no explicit statement of selection criteria. The bulk of the material since 1950, mostly English, French, German, a little of other languages, including Polish and Finnish, a few titles from the 30s and 40s. I was disappointed. I really was disappointed because it's not that retrospective. And since 1950, you have the indexes, some of which are now on computer. So, but it is excellent because, as he says, you have not just periodical articles, but even things like Festschrift articles, encyclopedia articles. And again, this is just Matthew and Mark, and the arrangement is by verse and chapter. And so often the student in exegesis is dealing with the biblical text. So I mentioned different types of arrangement earlier in the lecture. I failed to mention biblical text arrangement. Not doing as bad as I thought. The rest should go very fast. McCabe, I've mentioned, Critical Guide to Catholic Reference Books. Shunami, Perry, are you familiar with this? The Bibliography of Jewish Bibliographies. Oh, by the way, I should have mentioned, I read the preface to Wagner on Matthew Mark. The way he compiled this was inductively, just sifting through his own library there and through other libraries and putting together cards and cards and more cards, putting stacks of them together so we'd have a stack of cards for Matthew, a stack for Mark, and so on. Students would leave the seminary and start writing to him. We were away from that resource. We need that kind of thing. Can't you publish something like that? Put that stuff together that you put. So that's how it was done. So really the review was... The review said the selection criteria were not given, and it's true in terms of criteria, but the procedure, remember when I spoke about criteria and procedure, the procedure you did get. Okay, now, Shlomo Shunami, the editor of this thing in hand, second edition enlarged, 1966, Bibliography of Jewish Bibliographies, he first did his volume in 36 and did supplements in 38, 39, 47. He had... Perry, he was librarian at the Jewish and National Library in Jerusalem and worked in Europe in connection with the restoration of Jewish cultural properties. As a result, he never got around to revising the first edition, so what he did was his second edition. They say it's better that that happened. Has twice as many entries. Publications up through April 65. Obviously includes Dead Sea Scrolls, Holocaust, a lot of stuff that wasn't around in his early edition. Now, a great increase in entries has come in the section of personal bibliographies. Now, one thing I did not treat at all yet this evening is the meanings of bibliography. The old meaning up until about the 18th century was the writing of books or the copying of manuscripts. Macaro, History of Bibliography, a book by Oxford Press. What he means by that is how books were put together, not how bibliographies were compiled. So there's that meaning of bibliography, is how you determine when a rare book was written, by looking at the folio and the quarto and all those terms. Another meaning is what we usually think of subject bibliographies. You have a bibliography on Desi Scroll. But there's also the meaning of a list of an author's work, like a bibliography for William F. Albright that's been done, a bibliography of B.B. Warfield that's been done. It just lists everything, usually by the works, the books they wrote, the articles they wrote, the letters they wrote, the different categories, reviews, book reviews. He includes that kind of material. Most of these other things won't get into your personal bibliographies of individual writers. But he includes major Jewish figures' literary output in published form. If they're issued as a book, like Albright's bibliography or something like that. He has a section in there on that, those. And the writer's use or non-use of Hebrew was not a material question in doing those. A lot of the entries in here, by the way, are in modern Hebrew. It has both English and Hebrew introductions, 157-page index of names and subjects, a separate index of Hebrew titles, and finally, a systematic approach to Hebrew names. It's mainly a European thing, though, in published in Jerusalem. And he mentions that half of the Koragenda and addenda are separated from the other half by the 157-page index. You've got to watch for stuff like that. But again, a major work. Now, what I've done, I talked about the biblical tools, Fitzmyer, Merrill, Wagner, and so on, and Scholler, Smith, Wilbur Smith. What I did was shift over to other areas, just for clarity of what we're doing. And I mentioned McCabe, Catholic, Tsunami, this Jewish bibliography. And lastly, of these other areas, and of course there's a million other areas, but it's Sandine and Hale, American Religion and Philosophy. And it has more than 1,600 entries, includes monographs and collections of essays arranged according to topic, reflecting the historical growth of theological and philosophical thought, denominational movements, social movements. Such topics it includes as religion of North American Indians, the Great Awakening. Again, it's American-oriented. One of your criteria on your general to specific. Here, the American would be your geographical kind of limiter or parameter. Black religion, utopian communities of the 19th century, social gospel, and 20th century philosophical movements. Now, we're moving on then to another category. This is 8, and that is research guides, things that kind of combine text, as we had in some of these things, like Wilbert Smith, with lists. And I want to point out Research Guide to Religious Studies, which again is in a series, Sources of Information in the Humanities, a new series, Sources of Information in the Humanities. And the first is Research Guide to Religion Studies. It's number one in the series. John F. Wilson and Thomas Slavens. I reviewed this book for, forget the periodical now. It's one of those major ones that has a lot of book reviews in it. And I have a review here from Journal of the American Academy of Religion. And he basically says it's the graduate student's companion. A manual for beginners orients you to the wide world of religious studies. Says the survey. I found Wilson's survey to be better than Slavin's bibliography. Slavin didn't show the knowledge of theological bibliography that you'd like to have been had. He's going to be an editor, though, for each of the volumes. His name will stay there on each of these. The next one's on philosophy and such. Wilson's just for the religion volume. Slavin's at the University of Michigan, a very prominent person in the library science field, but that may reflect why there's actually more entries at the back of the chapters of Wilson's material, of his prose, than in the actual list at the end, which was done by Slavens. The subject index is virtually worthless. I noticed that they didn't, good now Jewish symbols, they listed that as not yet complete, which was interesting, so there were some things like that. And this interest, this one thing I found is the problems of computerization, which can be tricky. I looked at certain periodical titles, and some were in the author title index, and some were in the subject index. And what happened was, the way the computer program was written, if the title was mentioned in the text, in the prose text of Wilson, it appeared in the subject index. But if it was in one of Wilson's lists of works at the end of his chapters, or in Slavin's bibliography, then it was in the author title index. It was just interesting. Another thing was, I looked for a title that said this is on page such and such, and I combed the whole page, I couldn't find it. The last syllable of it was the first three letters. The computer had been told, where the title ends, cite that page is where it's on. And finally I it's actually page, 162, not 163, but the computer didn't know that. So yeah, just a few things as you get into works that are coming out by computer generation, you'll have to watch for those kinds of tricky things. Now, that's the only work I'm citing in this category of kind of a prose introduction plus list of books. The last category is just other. The next to last category is kind of how to use library guides in theology. One of the best is Aldrich, Aldrich, and Camp, Camp, using theological books and libraries. If you'd like me to, I could type up a list of each of the things I mentioned and distribute it. Give copies to Dr. Newman maybe at a future meeting, or many of you, I can just give a copy here. I can try to do that. This is a nice one, everything from how to use a card catalog to, even little picture illustrations and things, how to use indexes, such. And this one by Kennedy. I just read the ATLA newsletter last night, which just came yesterday, and it said, I thought, how pertinent for my lecture tomorrow night. I just discovered this. It said, James Kennedy, reference librarian at Earlham College, Earlham School of Religion in Richmond, Indiana, has published the second edition of his Library Research Guide to Religion and Theology, subtitle Illustrated Search Strategy and Sources. First edition appeared in 1974, designed primarily for seminary students and college religion majors. Now, the lecture really closes here, except to mention that some good periodicals with materials besides Theologische Rundschau, in missions, Missionalia is all practically all bibliography on missions. Interpretation often has an issue devoted like to commentaries that come out. Pro Delectatione, which I read among a couple of the faculty members, is a little thing that comes out that tells you what the articles in each of this month's issue of different magazines and journals are about. Here's an example. Zwingli's path from humanism to reformism is traced by Wayne Pitkin in Reformed Review, cites what issue of it, which also includes John Hesselink on Luther and Calvin on law and gospel and their commentaries on Galatians and Eugene Osterhaven on the Lord's Supper and Calvin's theology and practice. And for each periodical issue, it'll give you that kind of thing. The Christian Librarian, Journal of the Association of Christian Librarians, to which I've gone, I haven't gone to one of their meetings, and the Bible College and Christian College Librarians. I might mention the Proceedings of the American Theological Library Association have some good stuff in them. John Warwick Montgomery has some articles that Trotty cites on bibliography. You're probably aware, Perry and some of the others, of Archaeological Commentary on the Bible by Gonzalo Baez Carmago, Doubleday, 1984, and Kornfeld, Archaeology of the Bible, Book by Book. This guy at Catholic Theological Union in Chicago feels that both are weak, because he said there are precious few sources which could be considered primary data, such as excavation reports. The author does not even hesitate. Now, this is the archaeological commentary in the Bible. This is kind of a book by book, chapter by chapter thing, and here's what the archaeology of the that relates to it is. The author does not even hesitate to cite newspaper articles to support his interpretation. He feels that a multi-author work produced by archaeologists who have better control over the material is better. This particular Doubleday one, though, is
quote, conservative, says even though he agrees with the view that archaeology cannot, quote, prove the Bible, he hopes that his work will help the reader, quote, become more aware of the reality and authenticity of the eternal message of salvation in the Bible. That's from the preface. In practical terms, this leads the author to search for archaeological support for the history of the patriarchal narrative, the authenticity of sites traditionally associated with the life of Jesus, and so on. There's no attempt at showing how archaeology can help reconstruct a particular society's political, religious, social, cultural dimensions on the basis of remains found, and that sort of thing. And in fact, he says, a great many of the book's comments do not deal with the non-literary sources, which are the meat of Palestinian archaeology, but focus on the literary parallels from ancient Near Eastern texts. But there are some things. Now, Kornfeld and Baez Carmago, I mentioned, this is a pictorial guide by Robert Boyd to biblical archaeology, which is a gift from Mr. Taylor. That's a very nice work. Another periodical, a bulletin of the Association of British Theological and Philosophical Libraries, which we get in the library. It has some nice reviews of here's a reserve, a review of Research Guide to Philosophy, which is the volume 2 in this series. It's come out. Try to be aware of things like, this is a guide to index periodicals in religion. What it'll tell you is, here's the periodicals, here's where they're indexed, and when. So often, people think that they won't have any sensitivity to what indexes do, and they'll think like religion index 1 indexes Bibliotheca Sacra. Today they'll look there, and they'll go all the way back through it, and they'll hit 1960, and they'll keep going. And they don't realize, well, before 1960, that didn't index Bibliotheca Sacra. You see, so you have your chronology of the indexing plus exactly what titles are indexed. That kind of approaches it from the other direction, takes the periodicals and tells you. Some periodicals will tell you. Interpretation, scholarly journal like this will tell you right up front. Indexed by New Testament Abstracts, Social Sciences and Humanities Index, International Literature Shall, ATLA Index to Religious Periodical Literature, Religious and Theological Abstracts, Christian Periodical Index, Book Review Index. Tells you right away all the places it's indexed. But some periodicals won't, and some are not indexed, and it's tricky. Another nice tool are the cumulative indexes. This tells you a checklist of cumulative indexes to individual periodicals in the New York Public Library. Unfortunately, the date is 1942. But it'll tell you, like, maybe the expositor, this is all fields of study, maybe the expositor will tell you, well, 1880 to 1895 is indexed in the 15th volume, which appeared in 1895. There's no way of ever knowing that kind of thing unless you comb through individual volumes. I think that you're aware of things like reader's guides. There's a thing called the reader's guide, which is for all fields of study. This is Reader's Guide to Best Evangelical Books. I couldn't find a review on it. It's very new. There's some nice little things like this. It's an index of reviews of New Testament books between 1900 and 1950. It's a very nice place to find help students get reviews when Dr. Newman assigns reviews for a certain book, like A Life of Jesus or something, and they go through the indexes and get back toward 1950, and there's no index on the reviews at all, and they kind of are stumped. Directory of Resources, Guides to Bible Study. This includes some cassettes and film strips, that kind of physical media. This is an interesting thing done by a guy in Philadelphia. It's an index of indexes of Old Testament books between 1975 and 1983. What he did was take scores of Old Testament books, go back to their indexes, and then put all those indexes into this. So you go to this, and it's as if you're looking at a whole slew of indexes merged together for all these different books. So you can tell right away where, this is by subject first, and also at the beginning by the individual books. But you can tell where the descendants of Anak were talked about in a book by John Bright or whoever. This is the last thing I'll mention. It's a gift from Fred Putnam. A Classified Bibliography of Lexical and Grammatical Studies of the Language of the Septuagint by Emmanuel Toews. You're probably aware of that. That's just a kind of index that's the highly specific
indexes and bibliographical tools at the very narrow end of the spectrum. That concludes the lecture. Sorry, I went over some. Do other people ever go over?
Oh, sure. No.
Oh.
And we stung.
What kind of databases are there that can be accessed by computer?
BRS, Lockheed's Dialogue, the Religion Index 1, Religion Index 2, which is to Feshrichten or polygraphs. And I'm not sure if research in ministry is done yet. They're doing an index now to DMIN project. But those are all online. The BRS service is available at Calvary Baptist in Westminster. When we get a terminal, we could have, make it available too, because it's a nominal charge. Well, you don't really start paying that much until you start actually using it. So you could make it available to the students without a great deal of cost. But you do need a modem to hook the terminal to the line. You need a terminal, and the only terminal we have is over, of course, the development. But those are nice because you don't have to keep going back through volume by volume, checking every one. You have it right like that. You have the complete retrospect. Well, Religion Index 1 is the periodical articles of many journals through the years. By the way, Religion Index 1 was formerly the Index to Religious Periodical Literature. It's published by the American Theological Library Association. And the first few volumes, you may notice, around 1950, 51, 2, 3, 4, are real slender little things with only maybe a couple dozen titles listed. Now they have hundreds. They're going to redo the first 10 years in a four-volume format, which I expect any day to arrive. And they will, perhaps BibSac, for example, will be included. They're going to include some journals they later picked up. They're going to improve the indexing. So those initial slim volumes of that index will be beefed up when this redoing. One of the things I plugged for at the ATLA meetings with the index board, which has become a million-dollar enterprise, is retrospective indexing. It would be nice if they could get into that, because William Rainey Harper and a lot of the scholars, certainly B.B. Warfield and William Henry Green, a lot of those people, you know, who wrote in the early part of the 20th century, or late 19th century, a lot of that rich material is in these journals, but there's no way of finding it unless you just keep poking around and find it by serendipity. But a thing is, more computerization of indexes is definitely coming. The thing with the index searching is that unless you're very wealthy and can just afford to spend a lot of time fishing around in the database, the thing that's coming is the intermediary. And a lot of librarians are getting into the role of interpreting your needs vis-a-vis the database so that when you go on into it, you know right what to link together right away, and your strategy will take less computer time. But it has many advantages because you can link subject descriptors